One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome to Everything is Fine, a podcast for women over 40. We are your hosts. I'm Kim France.
And I'm Jen Romolini.
And Jen, we were getting into it before we started recording. Tell me what's on your mind.
Oh, I don't know. You know, it's so funny. You know how in therapy, sometimes you're like, I'm done. I'm healed. Like there's just like a week where you're just like, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I had that last week. I was just sitting there with my therapist being like, it's all fixed. It's just fucking all fixed. And then this week, circumstances didn't change, but I changed. I am ornery. I am angry. I am reactive. I am super anxious. I am trying to escape all of my feelings. I am just like, I'm totally out of whack this week. I'm like yelling at my kid and then feeling like shit about it. I'm kind of on strike domestically. Like I'm not, I'm just like watching like Alex do every small thing in the house and just feeling like shit about it. I'm just like not functioning very well, which leads me to somebody wrote a thing about me on your blog and I fucking responded, even though I know better than to respond.
I know. It's really, you got to dig your fingers into the palm of your hand and just keep yourself from doing it.
I know better than to respond. I didn't even think about what I was saying. I just was mad. I was already mad. I was having one of those fucking annoying days where everything's just fucking fucked up. And like, you're like, wait, I paid that bill, but no, but now the site's down. It's like, it's just things are, the car's fucked up, you know, just Everything is just kind of going wrong. And it was like night. I was hangry. Alex was making dinner and I was like, right? But I want to address a couple of things in it, because what it was last week we did an episode. You were really sick, which I want to talk about in a second. You were really sick. And I just kind of danced around you and just kind of like was like, whoa, all right. How about this? How about this? And I said some things that I didn't even necessarily mean. I don't think I said anything that was so, you know, harmful, but I was kind of like bigger than I think that I feel. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we were talking specifically about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. And I have since read the book, by the way, or listened to it. And I love the fucking book. So let me just say
really?
That. I love the book and I love him. And I even love her, which is why this is so ironic that this happened. But last week, I got two things wrong. First off, I called his ghostwriter sleazy. I didn't even know what his ghostwriter was. I was just had heard that through some, maybe I had seen a flash of an article and I called Harry's ghostwriter sleazy. This guy is not sleazy. He's the writer of The Tender Bar. He's won a ton of awards. He's a journalist. He's fine. Okay. Well, the second thing was I called Harry, Prince Harry, a soft boy, which I stand by because I love soft boys. Nobody even knows what a definition of that is, and neither do I really.
Well, Nancy Jo Sales came on, she said a soft boy is a guy who acts like a sensitive guy, but is actually a fuck boy.
Okay, well, I don't know if that's how I was using. So I misused that. So second demerit against me, I misused soft boy. What I meant was, compared to William, Harry is like an emotional guy. It seems like he's very connected to his emotions and seems sensitive. And I meant it in a very complimentary way, but to this reviewer, it did not come across that way. And then the last thing I said, and this is the thing I really want to talk about, is I called both of them basic, which I can't believe I used the word basic because it is a term that I fucking hate and think is stupid. But I was just sort of quickly riffing and I did it. And I said, oh, well, they're fucking basic. That's why she calls him H. They're just basic assholes. And I said that. I don't even really think that. I think that they are maybe have shown the world a lot of their intimate details to a point that it seems a little corny. But at the same time, somebody pointed this out, and I want to say that I don't know if this is right. And when I don't know if something's right, I always defer to someone else, particularly in this case, a woman of color. Somebody said that calling Megan basic was incredibly disparaging, particularly because she's a woman of color. And because I don't know that, I'm probably fucking wrong. I respect Meghan Markle. I think Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have done a lot of good for the world. And my whole point in that rant was saying that I actually thought they were in a bad position because I thought the media had exploited them. And anyway, if I got any of that wrong, I'm sorry, but I'm especially sorry for engaging with a commenter because I think that is always the worst. And you never know where the other person is coming from. And I did not handle it with compassion or even a lot of finesse. So that is my rant.
When you have responded to people in the past, you have responded with those things. So I think you should give yourself a little credit for typically being an extremely empathetic responder to comments.
Thank you.
You know, I have a lot of feelings about this because it's happening on my blog.
Yes.
And I do feel like, and I don't know if it's because of this, but there has been an ugliness in the comments of my blog that corresponds with starting this podcast.
It's me.
It's not you. It's not you. I don't know. Maybe they came from the podcast first, maybe the blog first. I don't know. But anyway, I think that we're trying, you know, we're trying. And doing a show like this, where you're really talking off the top of your head with very little planning, means that sometimes you go on rants. And even when you listen to the episode again before it airs, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I don't know. Oh, let it go. Don't want to start editing myself too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we, I don't think that was a massive fuck up. I think it was a misstep.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure if it was a massive fuck up. I wouldn't 100% stand by it is the thing. Yeah. And also, you know, I mean, the thing is, I may not have responded if it wasn't your blog. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have an old timey blog, you know what I mean?
I have a 2004 blog. I absolutely do.
I do. And it feels like intimate. And also I knew you were sick and I got defensive and it was a mistake, but I will say this, like, the person compared me to Joe Rogan, which, okay. Like I can't. All right. But what I'm really going to say about that is I think that one thing that is weird about doing a show like this, and I don't know if this is interesting for listeners or not, but like, we don't really make any money off this. We don't make like our ads. I probably am not allowed to talk about how much it is, but it's like, it sustains itself through the Patreon, and that's how we pay the person who edits it. So thank you all of our patrons, because really that's how we keep the lights on.
Really.
But you know, one of the things that it was one person, and one person was really upset, and I feel really badly. That is the other thing. Whenever you engage in something ugly like this online, whenever you engage in an ugly fashion, I feel so bad and so ashamed. This person is clearly very upset. But one of the things the person said was, you have power, you have a platform. And I think that I don't really think of that every week when we're doing this show. I don't. And that is a mistake. And it's come up a couple of times where it's like, oh, I'm just talking to my friend every week. It's not only a mistake, it's a little irresponsible. And the Joe Rogan comment, as much as I will give that, as much as I think that's like, ha, ha, ha. It's also
it's like high comedy. I'm sorry.
It is high comedy. It is high comedy, like for so many reasons. But But I will only say that it can be irresponsible to not be carefully choosing your words when they are going out to thousands of people. And I was not careful last week, and I knew I wasn't careful, and I didn't feel great about the episode. And the thing that really got me is the thing that always gets you in these comments, because the person started out by saying, "This was not your best." And I was like, "You're fucking right, and I'm mad." So anyway, so that's that. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got wrong, the ghostwriter. And I'm also sorry that I said things I didn't really mean. But also, Harry and Meghan are going to be fine. And I admire them. And I'm glad what they've done with their lives. Okay.
Okay.
Continue.
Okay. On to the next. I need to talk about a short film I saw over the course of the past week, which I found jolting, shocking, exhilarating. It was the Jen Romolini 1990s.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay. We're in a
drunken party video.
Okay.
Paul can't stop watching it. I can't stop watching it.
I'm going to describe for the listeners what this is. And I'm going to cut the where it was, because I don't want anybody to sort of find it online, but I have put it on my, social channels. For a number of reasons, because I don't want people to know this identifying details. But okay, so I will describe what this is. What this video is somebody, when I went to college the first time that I failed out sort of spectacularly, somebody at a college party in 1993 had a VHS camcorder. And they videoed this boy, I think it was, videoed this party me and all of my friends were at. And it's in like the grossest room in the world. And like the Lemonheads, Mrs. Robinson is playing. And everybody is wasted. There's a joint going around. People are wasted.
Like not upright, not upright. However, in the middle of all of this, like Bacchanal, there's Romolini with like her little cigarette in her perfect blonde bob.
Cannot believe, because the thing, what's so unusual about this is that people from our generation, we don't have much documentation of our lives, much real documentation. We have a lot of posed things. We have, you know, maybe some snapshots, but there's not a lot of footage of our parties, of our, you know, of our time together, like there is for the generations after us, right? So what's so fascinating about this to me is just whatever, like really seeing what everybody looked like in a way I didn't remember, you know, what, like the clothes are exactly how you imagine the clothes to be.
Yeah.
You know, the partying is raucous as you imagined it to be. I was surprised, because I always think of myself as the messiest lush. I was surprised to see myself in the center of that, looking kind of fine. I was shocked.
You look great. You look totally together. You were like the cousin Marilyn of the party.
I was very, very surprised. Anyway, someone unearthed this on YouTube months ago, and I was just writing about being that age in my book, like writing in this one part of my revision. And I was like, oh, wait, you know what? I'm going to pull that video up, because I want to see what I think I'm going to get a lot of details from that I wouldn't have otherwise. So I watched it, and then I couldn't stop watching it, because the thing is, I'm not the star of it. I'm in it like a couple of seconds. It's everybody around me that's so fascinating. Just these boys, just like having, and like the boys that we were like in love with and having sex with. And, you know, I mean, you could just see them, the long hair, the flannels. It was just a whole mess. I loved it. I love it. I love it a lot too. I'm surprised that you loved it as much as I did. But yes, it's on my Instagram under 1993 on my highlights, if anybody wants to see this.
It's just because you can never really get a good look at anything that's going on in the video.
Yes.
It's shot so crazily that it's like a perfect pop song. Like perfect pop songs are too short and you just want to hear them again immediately.
Yeah.
And this was just like every angle is just super quick. Every shot is super quick. And you can't really see any of
it. No, you can't. Although there is one part that I was like, I had PTSD. I was like, oh my God, my friend that I talk about, my ex-friend that I've talked about in the podcast before is in it for a second and yells at me in a really loud way. Just like, it's like, I'm going to fucking kill you. And so it's like the only voice you hear almost throughout the whole thing. And it's just like, I don't know what I did.
It's true.
Something horrible, I guess. I don't know. Oh my God. You know what it is? All of this comes down to is just hating yourself. Like, not the video, but like all of how I'm feeling and the reacting to the commenter and like even that person in the video, I'm going to fucking kill you, is just like that undercurrent that I sometimes think I eradicate. And I'm like smug in the fact that I'm so healthy and I've eradicated it. And then something triggers it again. And it's just like this well of self-loathing when is it going to go away?
Well, I mean, it's like if we were like the Zen masters who had been training their brains, for years and years and months and days to not respond to that negative self-talk.
Right.
Your brain does what your brain is used to doing. And unfortunately, both of our brains are really used to like kicking the shit out of ourselves.
Right.
No, it takes a lot of work to build it's like building a new pathway.
Yes. And it is like really observing it and being okay with sitting in the discomfort of it. Mm-hmm. And the other night, I just couldn't, it was so weird. In real time, I could see, and this doesn't always happen, but in real time, I felt really anxious. I felt really upset. And I felt really like a lot of self-loathing and a lot of insecurity. And I wanted out of it. And so I just rolled and smoked a giant joint because I was like, I don't want to feel this. Like it's not often that you get to see your devices. Like you get to actually see why you need them, why you turn to them. But in real time, I was like, I can't feel this anymore. And like walked around the corner and like with a joint and then saw my neighbor, like mom neighbor, who I don't know if she knows I'm a big stoner, who was like doing something wholesome. And I was like, hi.
What time was it?
It was like 7:30 at night.
Okay. So an acceptable time.
Yeah. She was like dealing with her, recycling. And I like was hiding the joint behind me as if it wasn't
like she couldn't smell
exactly,
it. Yeah.
Exactly. As if I wasn't like pig pen of cannabis.
Although the ambient smell of Los Angeles is and has been for some time now, marijuana.
It's true. It's true.
And it's getting that way here.
It's true. Is it?
It is getting that way here. Bodegas are selling weed now.
Wait, what?
Bodegas are openly selling weed. It's because we're in this weird legal never land right now where it's going to take a couple of years to figure out the retail aspect of like selling pot in New York. And so because it's now not illegal, all of these bodegas are selling it. And I think, someone who knows about these things was telling me like as soon as they start getting ready to roll out all of the dispensaries, then those places will be shut down.
Oh, you are living the salad days of weed right now, because that was exactly what happened here. And it was so great. You could walk in anywhere, you could pick out buds, it was amazing. It was like a pot utopia. However, once the dispensaries come in, it becomes so weird and sanitized and so much more expensive.
Well, and because of the taxes.
The taxes are insane, but like also the packaging becomes really...
Oh, the packaging is crazy.
Yeah, it's like worse than opening a CD.
So, and I understand they got to do it because a lot of these things are designed to look, to appeal to young people. They've got bright colors, the packaging, and it does look, a lot of it is candy and looks like candy.
Yes. Yes.
So I guess they've got to be really cautious, but like, yeah, I'm an adult woman with like an okay brain and I'm like, how the fuck does this work? Like, how do I open this?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I've had that moment. I've had that moment. And like, just like, I've like torn into something with like a pocket knife, just been like, I can't deal with this. What the fuck is this? Like, you're supposed to be a delicate lady with your edibles, but it's not possible. I know.
Do not stand between me and my weed.
Exactly. I know. Which, by the way, I'm back on the weed, and it's like not. My psychiatrist is like, stop, and I'm like, sure, and then I'm like, no, and it's not great. I think it's not helping the anxiety and, you know, like sort of low key depression. But I think what it is also is I have two big projects coming out. Like I'm about to finish my book and that will be the end of me being able to touch it anymore. Then it's like, well, that's it. This is the book you made. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what you could do. So I'm like hoarding it. I'm like holding on to it, you know, like, mm-hmm. And then I have a big podcast coming out at the end of March and I'm really nervous about putting work out into the world. I'm like really scared about it. I'm like, oh, what are people going to think? And what
people are going to love that podcast. It's very different than this one. And I think you guys will really get into it, especially those of you who are interested in the stories we tell about the magazine world.
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. But anyway, I'm just feeling very nervous about it. And to that point, I read an excellent book called Simple Passion by Ani Arnaud, I think is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I looked it up and that was what it said, but I think I'm still pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, it was the Nobel Prize winner in 2022. I don't know if you've, mm-hmm. have you seen it or read it?
I knew that she won the Nobel for it, but I haven't read anything by her ever.
Okay. It's a 60-page book. So it is like the fastest book. And it's all about an affair she had in the 80s. And it is just the obsession of being in love with somebody who's kind of withholding emotionally. And like, he's married, the guy she's having this affair with is married. And mm-hmm. it is just a 60 page ride of just her being in this, like every way you feel when you're obsessed with another person, when you're fucking somebody, when the sex is really good, when you are just fully absorbed in like, you know, like a sexual stew.
And you know what? I was thinking about that sexual stew. I was mm-hmm. thinking about the times in my life that I've been like, you know, dickmatized, for lack of a better.
Oh, dickmatized is good.
Dickmatized. I didn't invent that.
Okay.
And it's not entirely enjoyable.
No, it's not.
It's not entirely enjoyable. That kind of like sexual obsession is uncomfortable.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And she gets at that so well. And it's an uncomfortable book in that way, but it's so honest, but it's also kind of meta. But anyway, the very end of it. So I've been having all these feelings about like releasing my own work into the world and like the fucking, the terror of that. And at the very end of this book, it's not spoiling anything, but she says this, to go on writing is also a means of delaying the trauma of giving this to others to read, hence why I keep writing. I hadn't considered this eventuality while I still felt the need to write. But now that I have satisfied this need, I stare at the written pages with astonishment and something resembling shame, feelings I certainly never felt when I was living out my passion and writing about it. And then the last line is... she's talking about like how right now it's just scribbles. They're all her own. The story is all her own. Once I start typing out the text, once it appears before me in public characters, I shall be through with innocence.
Wow.
And I've been thinking about that so much because I've been thinking about, you know, how do we hold ourselves back from actually doing things? Why? It's like we want to stay in... It's like we want to stay in one place, even if it's uncomfortable, because the unknown of the future is scarier.
Scarier, for
the
sure.
The reception or anything. It's just anything scary. It's just like keeping yourself stuck. It's like, oh, I'm stuck. And I never think to myself, oh, I'm keeping myself here.
Oh, I do.
You do?
I do.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I absolutely think my stuckness is a result of like what's going on in my head. And not external events. Is that what you mean?
Yes, it's exactly what I mean. Like I keep myself stuck because I'm afraid of the next step.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing about the brain, your grooves in your brain again, though. I think it just like you get stuck and you get stuck and you do the same fucking thing, you know, the same way, like, you know, a mouse goes back to the cheese every single day.
Yeah. And it's like, even if you don't love it, even if you don't love the routine, you're just like, well, this is actually such an obvious conversation. This is how you could tell I've been smoking too much weed, but like, it's such an obvious conversation because we get stuck in our patterns. We get stuck in our routines. And like, even if we're not satisfied, it's like, well, this is easy.
Or I know this, like this, I know.
Yes. This I know. And the unknown is terrifying.
I think that's why a lot of people stay in marriages.
I was just about to say that exact sentence.
I mean, I remember thinking, like, because I was alone for a long time after I left my husband. I had a brief relationship and then was on my own for a number of years with occasional excitement.
Yeah.
And I remember telling myself, I was like, if I had known how long I was going to be alone after I left my husband, I never would have left him. And so I'm really glad I didn't know.
Wow. See, I always think that when I fantasize about leaving my marriage, which, you know, I think every married woman
does.
I hope that everyone's not going to like call my husband and be like, hey, guess what? When I fantasize about leaving my marriage, it's never for, you know, the ani or no simple passion. It's always for being on my own. Like, what's seductive to me is the aloneness and getting out of the routines of the marriage and sharing and having to compromise and sort things out fucking constantly.
Yeah.
Which I recognize as a gift as well.
It is a gift. And I think about it a lot because it's, you know, I'm now in this, you know, very committed relationship that's headed, you know, for marriage. And I don't know that I ever learned to negotiate all that. I never did in my first marriage, and my first marriage was super, super brief.
Right, right. No, I don't know if I did in this marriage, honestly, until like the last couple of years where the sort of rubber hit the road, especially when I left a big job and could no longer just throw money at all the problems, you know, when I left a big job and we had to start thinking about, okay, well, who's doing this domestic thing? And, you know, and once we had a kid and we had to like think about all that stuff. And in the last couple of years is only when we've become more equitable and started really sorting it out.
I always think about that line from one of the Richard Linklater movies where Ethan Hawke says, having kids is like running a daycare with someone you used to date.
Oh my God. And especially as discussed, like as they get older, it's just like, I don't know. There's just like a moment where like you're living with a person who doesn't like you or want to live with you anymore.
But they need you so desperately and they love you so much. They just cannot let you know that.
Exactly. Oh, I know. It just sucks. It just sucks because it's just like, ew.
And no, I can imagine it would be really unpleasant. Like we had a cat once when I was growing up and the cat was really hostile. It would chase our ankles and bite us. Like this cute, adorable little cat was just horrible. And I imagine it's like that. Like every time you like try to do anything, you're just like being shot down and told you look embarrassing or you said something embarrassing.
Ugh, shut up, mom. Oh, you know you can't sing. Oh, you're not as cool as you think you are. Oh, it's just.
And they say mean things.
Oh, the meanest. Let's take a quick break from some ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we're back. My child has been allowing me to indulge them, has been indulging me in allowing me to teach them some music things. And over the weekend, I went to see a tween improv show, which was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
Really? Yes. Because Charlotte is starting improv and we wanted to check out the show. It's, you know, whatever. We wanted to see what it was going to be like, which is going to be fun and funny. But Charlotte was like, "What's grunge?" And I was like, "What?" So I took them through like a whole, like the whole ride there, like a whole like Temple of the Dog, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Soundgarden. I was like, "This is crazy listening to these songs." And then I was talking about wanting to see Madonna on tour this summer.
Oh, I know this tour.
I want to see Madonna. It's like the tickets are literally, some of them, like not even like scalped, are $8,000. I'm like, I don't know.
No, yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know. But my kid had never really heard Madonna. So I've been listening for 2 days to all Madonna songs. And that's been really fun.
I'll bet.
Did you like Madonna? Wait, this is a good question.
I loved Madonna.
Okay, good. I thought that Madonna is just like you couldn't grow up when we did and not love Madonna.
No, like Desperately Seeking Susan came out the summer after my freshman year of college.
Okay.
And I remember going to see it. I was in New York that summer and I remember going to see it at Lincoln. There used to be a movie theater in Columbus Circle.
Okay, okay.
Seeing it there, it was this great big old movie theater with a bunch of girls I went to college with. And it ends with Into the Groove.
Oh,
and it was just so exhilarating and so great. And the way she looked.
Yes.
It's hard to explain to people who weren't there for it, how it was just an infinity loop of obsession with her.
Yes. And it was like the world changed. It was something, it was like one of those moments where you just really felt like, oh, this is amazing. This is, what has this ever happened before? This is,
yeah. Know.
And, you know, there's so many good songs, like Borderline is great. There's, you know, there's
Holiday.
Just, oh, Holiday is great. Even the True Blue album is great. Like it's just, you just kind of keep going and going. Like a Prayer is great. It's just, ugh.
No, they were amazing. I mean, she was not like a great musical talent.
But, no.
But her songs were as like addictive as anybody's.
Well, and maybe the songs were as addictive as anybody's, in part because when I think of them, I think of the videos. Like when I hear them, mm-hmm. I'm conjuring the videos because, you know, her rise coincided with MTV's rise, right? Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I mean, I can't separate them in my mind. When I hear Papa Don't Preach, I just see that video and I'm just like, oh my God, her hair, that shirt.
The muscles, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Italians Do It Better shirt. It's just incredible. Anyway, Madonna's been fun. And I also, speaking of icons, watched Elvis, the movie.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, I had not watched it because I was like, what the fuck? 3.5 hours. What is this? I am never going to watch this. And we decided to watch it over 2 nights, like almost like it was like a mini series. And I thought it was amazing, actually. I thought it was a great movie. I think it's Baz Luhrmann's, it's my favorite of Baz Luhrmann's movies, I think.
Really, maybe I had no interest in it. Maybe I'll have to go watch it. But how sad about Lisa Marie?
I know. Well, that was part of why I wanted to see it. That whole story, the whole story of Elvis is so, so, so sad. And I had really forgotten it. I had forgotten like the whole trajectory of his career. I knew it because I read Elvis and Me when I was like, I don't know, mm-hmm. young, because I was obsessed with Priscilla Presley. Still am to some degree. But their whole story is so tragic. He was so, speaking of exploited, he was so exploited and yeah. used and abused. And then Lisa Marie, ugh, I mean.
She was a baby.
I know. She was, I mean, her dad died at 42 of a heart attack. I mean, obviously brought on by all of the drugs he did and his lifestyle. And she, I think she was 54. Maybe?
I think 54, 55, yeah.
But she just lost her son who died by suicide. Oh,
no.
It's just,
And the sister, the daughter who's left was apparently very close to the brother. It's very sad. It's just as sad as it could possibly be.
It's unbelievably sad. And the fact that she was just the night before at the Golden Globes, it's just, or two nights, but I don't know if it was one night or two nights, but it was just very out in public, just giving, like, because she's not a super public figure, you know, but she was just out on the red carpet giving interviews, you know, that was wild.
It's scary. And it scares me because I'm older than her.
I know.
You know, I know somebody who younger than me, who died younger than me of a heart attack, a woman, you know, fit woman who ran every day, dropped out of a heart attack at 55. So I just have to turn it around and see how it affects me.
No. We're going to get horrible comments.
Oh my God, that was a joke.
I know. Joke. We need like a sound effect, like so that it's like, like we need to just be like the morning zoo and like.
Oh my God. That's a pivot.
That's it. There we go. That's what we're going to do from now on. Just so everybody knows we're not taking ourselves seriously. No, I know. Oh God, I can't think about getting old. Again, I'm 50 in like 50 days. I'm just like want to barf.
You know how much better my 50s have been than my 40s? Like not even comparable. Not even comparable. But no, I mean, I get, you know, my thing is like, I get afraid for my health, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm really fucking grateful to still be here and, you know, want to remain here. The agey stuff, like the looks, all of that, that's not bothering me as much these days. Like feeling like, oh, I need to go get some injections. I got to get an eye job. I got to do this.
I'm on and off on that stuff, but I will say I'm going to be careful about how I say this, but I think there's a moment in your late 40s, and this has just shifted for me, where you are just, you're still holding on. It's the maiden and the crone thing, right? And you're mm-hmm. really holding on to like your like sweet looks and you're like, you know, when the male gaze and you're holding on. And I could see someone recently who's really holding on to really wanting to be like be cute and be considered cute and like sweet rather than the flip, which happens around this age, just fully into crone, just like accept you're just a full, like not that you can't be sexy anymore, but you don't need to have that like that faux innocence, that like that thing that makes you palatable to specifically to men and to the outside world where like you're just for their consumption. And that flip has really happened to me in the last, like even in the time of doing this podcast, I think that I have let go of the side of the plane, like something we talked about like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel that anymore. And I feel like I'm full crone now. Like, and even in, though it was
misguided. Can we not use the word crone though? Crone is such a, it just sounds like.
Yeah, I know. But that's the word that it's the maiden and the crone. I think those are the symbols.
That's
in like
a construct.
It's
yes.
a construct in like, I don't know, is it like witchery? I don't know. No, crone is a bad word though. I don't feel like a crone.
Well, it's recognizing, you know, whether you call it invisibility or just ageism or whatever you call it.
No, but it is a crossing a threshold. And I don't want to call it crone either. Like crone, we need a new word for crone.
There is the vanity you have as you start to realize I'm invisible. I might be invisible.
Right.
Or however you want to phrase that. And then there is realizing like, you know, having a little radical acceptance around it. Like, yeah, people don't look at me when I walk down the street anymore. You know, no, and A, B, and C are also true.
Right, right.
And not especially giving such a shit, not having it tear at your insides that you can't walk down the street. I mean, I love the fact that I no longer feel sexually vulnerable.
Yes, yes.
You know, as girls in this country, like, we were all being catcalled by the time we were like 13, you know, and not telling our parents and not having any context for what that was, you know, doing to us and how, I mean, I was terrified of men, you know, and I love not having that be an aspect of my life anymore.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And so, and I think that's one part of it. I think there's also the part of it though, where there are like, there's like a feminine wiles kind of thing that I feel like I've dropped. Like, I don't, my femininity is not wrapped up in the filter of how the patriarchy may see me anymore wanting to be sweet and small. Like, for example, someone reached out to me about a project and they didn't put a rate on it. And they wanted me to do a bunch of things for them in order to be considered for this project. And I very clearly, in the past, I might have been like shy and been like, oh, and I very clearly was like, before I go forward, I need to know how much I need to know more details about this project. Like, I feel much more assertive and comfortable with being assertive. And then it's sort of reining that in. I'm talking about many different things at once, but then it's sort of reining that in. So it's not cranky and, you know, off-putting. Cause I do think that there can be a thing that when you get older, where you're so over it that you can be super cranky about things.
That's true. That's true. And all people are trying to do is get your work out into the world and you should be nice to them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No, I think that's how I've gotten about assignments, about writing assignments. Like, people, you know, when I was young, I would take any assignment that came my way. Anything. I just wanted my byline as many places as it could be.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, you know, all anybody ever wants me to write is a piece about finding your style after 40. So I've written it again. But like, I can't write it anymore. And it's like, I will do other stuff. Like, I have other flavors than just like the over 40 thing.
If I was still an assigning editor, I have like 5 pieces I would like you to write. I am not anymore, unfortunately.
You know, the other day I sent, I told you last week about Catherine, the woman who had been my mentor in Seattle, who I saw when I was there. And she asked about my writing, and I sent her a piece I'd written about the Condé Nast lunch, holiday lunch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this is the last piece that I thought, you know, it's a while ago, but it's the last piece I wrote that I thought was really better than good. And I was like, that was 2016, Kim. Like, I've written things since then, but there's nothing I like that. And it's like, okay, that's a long time. Like, it's time to start, you know, time to throw some more shit out there.
I mean, if you, I think about this a lot though. It's like, if you want, and I guess like, what, why do we create is a big question, right? Is it, I mean, mine is part for ego, part survival. You know, part just needing to feel like, you know, I need to get more on this earth before I die. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm curious for you, because you're in a very different position than I am in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not trying to pay for braces. Why do you want to write more?
I want to write more because it satisfies me in a way that, you know, it is my creative outlet, I would say. I don't have another one. I'm not a very visually talented person.
Right, right.
And it's satisfying.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's satisfying. I can still look at pieces I've written and feel really satisfied. You know, it's the old joke, like, you know, nobody wants to write, everybody wants to have written.
Yes, 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 yes.
And that's definitely true. But you're right. I mean, what is my motivation? When I was young, my motivation was to make money and you know, have my byline as many places that I wanted it to appear as I could. Now that's not, I mean, now I feel like, you know, I we've talked about this so much, but it's like, I've said before, you know, I wouldn't have been happy if I accomplished something on the level of Lucky, but having done it, I had no desire to do anything like that again.
I know. I mean, and I think, and by the way, let me just back up and be very clear that I think that you should write, and I text you this constantly, and I text frequently. You ideas frequently, not constantly, but a couple times a month. I am like, you should write about that. You should write about this. But you know, I was supposed to do a regular column for the internet, like at the beginning of the summer, I had signed on to do it. And I'm done with writing for the internet for the most part. I mean, you know, if I have to write a promotional story or two around my book, but I don't like it. It doesn't serve mm-hmm. me. I don't need it. I don't like that kind of exchange. I can't really swim in order to write for the internet, you need to be extremely online and you need to just have an idea of sort of so many points of view and have everything in your mind at once, because everything's changing so fast and the internet is such an ugly place and, you know, whatever. So I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I tried. I wrote like 7 drafts of the same story every time, just kept choking. And it was like my body and brain were saying, no, this is not for you. This is not for you anymore. And I was a daily blogger, a couple a day, like fashion news blogger, and then like a regular, just pumping that shit out. It broke my brain in a way that I don't want to do it again. I don't want to anticipate the ugliness so that I've built it into the story. So I'm like couching against every possible angle. And it's too much.
Yeah, I get it.
What else is happening with you this week? What else did you watch, see, listen to?
I am feeling better today, but I actually got sicker than I was last week and was pretty much just asleep on the sofa for the entire week. But I've been thinking about like, movies that I don't even have to turn the volume on when I'm like not entirely in the mood to like focus on something, like on the flight back from Seattle or this past week lying on the sofa, like those movies like Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Where you don't need to watch it. You just sort of can like let the happy images like wash over you and enjoy like the movie, or Fast Times, you know, I feel like. So that's what I've been doing. And then I've decided I need to be more healthy. And so especially since I've been sick and I have had no appetite. So I bought a bunch of green juice.
Okay.
And yesterday I just like, I drank green juice all day.
How did that feel?
Well, it's how it felt the next day.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
It was like my body doesn't even know what's happening to it. It's like it was crazy.
I speaking of like comfort movies, I watched Pretty Woman the other night.
And how was that?
You know what was weird? Okay, like so first off, that movie should have ended with its original ending that they did not get together. Like that sort of tack on ending.
What was the original ending?
The original ending was like they go their separate ways. It's like they had this encounter. They're both like, they both fuck people for money. They discover, you know, their likeness and they teach each other something. And then of course it's not going to work out because she's a sex worker and he's like a rich man, and they go their separate ways. Instead, they added this like very hokey Hollywood ending and tacked it on the end. But it held up better. I mean, it's obviously there's all kinds of like sexism and all sorts of problems with it. It held up a lot better than I thought because of two things. One, Julia Roberts is just incredible. You just can't stop looking at her. She is magnificently beautiful and charming and just like cannot take your eyes off
her.
And she has
a very, very expressive face.
An incredibly expressive face, and just like does something with this role that is like just amazing. It's just like it's perfect performance. And the thing is about this movie that I really thought about is something I do not think today, and I'm not going to mention names because I get all kinds of trouble when I do that. Leading men today often do not look like they know how to fuck. Richard Gere looks like he knows how to fuck.
That's hilarious.
You are just like, oh, yes, sir. You know how to fuck. This is a thing people do not talk about in that movie, that Richard Gere is just like, oh, yep, fucking. He gets it. And the way he touches her, the way that he just moves in, just all of it. They have really good chemistry, but he's just sexy, and sexy in a way that I leading men of today for me are not, this is not a universal point, but a lot of the rom-com package things, the men do not look like this.
No. You know, it's funny that you should mention him, because we recently, Paul's son was here, and he had never seen American Gigolo.
Mm-hmm.
So we queued it up, and it was awful.
Wow.
Like we couldn't stop watching it. It's like, okay, is it going to hold up? Is it not going to hold up? And I mean, the acting is just atrocious.
Wow. Yeah. I don't really remember that movie. Karina Longworth did a really good episode of You Must Remember This about American Gigolo, which taught me a lot about like the behind the scenes of it and the scandal surrounding it, that it was, that, you know, there was a lot of gay undertones and this was very scandalous and, you know, but I don't remember it, but he was, I mean, I don't know. Is he a good actor? I don't know.
I don't know either. He's never been one of my favorites. I don't dislike him, but he's never like, I've never found him sexy.
I know.
You do or you don't.
You do or you don't. I mean, I guess it's like olives. You like them or you don't, but.
And I think most people do find, I mean, I think I'm in the minority. I think he is, you know, has been widely considered to be sexy. There's something about him that's just a tiny bit bitch face.
Well, yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. That might be your kink. Like, I love a bitch face.
Bring it on.
A bitch face is my kink. I can't, you know, what are you going to do? What else? Are you using anything that we can recommend to of women of a certain age?
I have been wearing a new makeup primer, because my makeup slides right off my face.
Okay. Okay.
And so I got this Smashbox stuff. Smashbox Photo Finish Smooth and Blur Oil-Free Foundation Primer.
Okay.
It also comes in like a, you know, if your skin is really red, you can get, you know, correct for really red skin. But it does make my makeup stay on longer. And I like it better than this. It's like a gel that you put on before you put your makeup on.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it better than the primers that are sprays that you spray on. I think it works better. So that's pretty much my only new beauty thing. No, I mean, Romolini, I've been literally laying on the sofa. I so wish I had more things to discuss today.
I don't think you have to. I mean, I think it's fine. I think we made an episode. I'm going to recommend one thing before we go, because somebody on our Facebook group was asking about foundation, and I put it in the, replied in the Facebook, but I think honestly, because, you know, people are talking about how like foundation gets in the cracks and creases of your face and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I have a very red nose right now. I have a lot of broken blood vessels in the corners of my nose. So I don't usually wear foundation, but I've been covering them up until I decide to remove them, because they just popped up, by the way, just broken capillaries. All right. Okay, fine. But Ilia, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, Ilia, they have a super serum skin tint SPF 40 foundation is the full name of it. And I will put it in the notes. Yes. And it's basically a tinted moisturizer. It has like, you know, there are, I think, like 20 different tones to choose from. So it's really good at a good match for your skin. But it really goes on super silky and dewy. It leaves a real dewiness to the face. And it's very light, and I really, really, really like it. It's like a combination serum, SPF, and foundation in one.
I like this whole, I mean, it's not such a new trend, but I really like the beauty trend of like beauty products that have like, I mean, makeup that has beauty products in it.
Yes. Yes. Me too. I like that too a lot. Okay. Well, look, we made an episode. We did it. Thanks for putting up with us, everybody. And, you know, thanks for listening to Everything Is Fine again this week. We're your hosts. I'm Jen Romolini.
And I'm Kim France.
If you like the show, please rate and review it across the platforms. It really helps people find the show, especially Apple Podcasts. If you want to support the production of the show, we have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/everythingisfine. We do live events there sometimes. We blog there. Sometimes we put up bonus episodes. But really, like I said earlier in this episode, it's really to help us keep the lights on. If you want to follow us on social media, we have a robust and private Facebook group. We also are on Instagram at EIF Podcast. We're on Twitter. We're on LinkedIn. If you want to follow Kim, you can go to her blog, girlsofacertainage.com. If you want to follow me, I'm at tinyletter.com/Jennifer Romolini. The show is mixed and edited by the wonderful Natalie Rivera. Thank you again, Natalie. And we'll be back next week.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.